But before I do that, I want to look at a video of New Year's resolutions from last year to see if you fit in any of these and how that went for you, okay? Did you see yourself in any of those? I like the one guy spoke for the other guy. Well, we don't have any New Year's, and the other guy was thinking. Did you see that? He was thinking. A lot of people take this time of year to reevaluate. Some families have a tradition on New Year's Eve to kind of just reflect back at the year and to see how that went, and you know, and then have some goals. You want to call them resolutions, perhaps. Some people need revolutions, not just resolutions. And they come in all shapes and sizes. Did you notice that, too? They have different goals, what they want to achieve in the new year. One of my favorites that stuck out here that I want to focus on this morning is that they want to be the best they could be, the best person they can be. And I'm sure if you look at yourself, that you want to be the best person you can be for Jesus, that's your heart's desire, to be the best person. And how to do that when, you know, like, we don't have the strength to do that, and we don't have the wherewithal, and sometimes we do good for a couple days, and then maybe hours or minutes in some cases, but we want to do that. We want to admire people who have these New Year's resolutions, because they're just the go-getters, or the people that make it happen, but I want to talk about something that's new in a whole different way. New not in a refreshed sense, but never seen before since. Surpassing that which is old. There are two Greek words for the word new. One is qualitative, one is quantitative. The quantitative word has the idea of something that came after. So for example, the iPhone. When Steve Jobs introduced the iPhone several years back, it was 2007, I forgot now, he just said, he started giving out his thing, says, okay, plays music, answers the phone, and keeps calendar. Plays music, keeps the phone. And he'd go, iPod, you know, and he came out with this unit that is everything. Okay, it's all in one. And many of you who have smartphones hold in your hand a city block of computers from the 1960s. You know, everything's in a city block, boom, right here. And you kind of wonder why they're so expensive. Well, because there's a lot of technology that goes into it and all that. But it was nothing new in the sense of phones, because we've had phones before. You know, remember the corded ones? You used to have to stand there, and you'd pick it up, and you'd carry it to the other room, and your sister's on the extension listening.
Get out of the internet, I need to use the phone.
Oh, the old days of that, man. Oh, yeah. But here, it's not new, but it's put several different things together, and you carry it in your pocket now, and it goes wherever you go, and they know where you're at, and it listens on this side. No, but you get the idea. It's just something new, not been seen before, but yet still it's kind of a remake of some other things. But we're talking about something new that's never been seen before. And that's kind of hard to envision, isn't it? And at the end of the service, we're going to talk about, we're going to sing a song by Chris Tomlin, Indescribable, where who imagined the sun and gave source to its light? Well, we see the sun now, but if you think about it, it's burning. And it doesn't burn out for how many years? Well, we know at least 1,000 years, right? And if you want to do the evolutionist perspective, millions and billions of years, but no. Then there's the new in the sense of qualitative, as old and worn out. Something's been old or worn out, and it's fascinating. These words really are not used in the sense of refresh, but to be newed, to new. You know, if the new covenant's not a rework of the old covenant, it's new. I have a lot of friends that try to say it's a refreshment of the old. No, it's new. It's never been seen before. The verse we use at the beginning, do you not perceive it? And no, they didn't get it. We talked about that at Christmas Eve. He came unto his own, but his own did not recognize him because it was too new. It was out of the ordinary. It was something, it was what?
It wasn't what they expected.
Exactly. It wasn't what they expected. It's just like, whoa. And you've had that before. Okay? Now, you know I've got a new car now, bless Jesus, because I've got somebody gave us a gift. And I have a hard time finding it now. Because we're becoming a white car nation. That's a flower joke. But you get what I'm saying. You know, I walked up twice, it's happened now, but once I intentionally parked next to the other white car, it looked like mine, so I wouldn't get wrong. So if I did get wrong, at least I'm in the area. Okay? I come out of Walmart, and I'm all happy. I didn't find what I was looking for, and I just thought, cool, this is cool. I walk up to the car, and I'm pushing my button, and it's not doing anything. I look inside, there's no car seat. Where'd the car seat go? Who took my? Oh, not my car. And I said it real loud, not my car. It's not my car. Oh, I remember now. I parked pulling, and I finally found my car. But the little gadget that they give you, that thing in the fob that it comes, fobs, I can do this right now, and I can beep my car in the parking lot. When the woman, a young girl, was showing me my car, it was really cool. We're hundreds of feet, they moved it, and they were hundreds of feet away, and she's beeping this thing. Oh, I could do that in the parking lot. like a homing device. If there's an app, let me know. There's got to be an app for this. Okay, so it's kind of new, never seen before. Get my joke? Okay, yeah, I've never seen my car before. I can't find it. The big idea in all this is we're going to look at Ephesians, and we're going to notice that the new in you is beyond us to His glory. The new in you is beyond anything you could think or imagine to His glory. There's a song by Andrew Peterson. It's called All Things New. I'd like you to listen. You got the sound up on that, Ben? Ready? Come battered and bruised, my Jesus makes all things new. All things new. That's the invitation to us. I find it interesting that the Lord allowed us to have New Year's. Think about that. It could have just been one perpetual long run, you know, treadmill, kind of no breaks. But He threw in holidays, or holy days as we call them in the Bible, and He threw in New Year's. Now, obviously, this is a civil New Year. The Jewish New Year's in September. Or actually, it's Nisan, but that's another story. But anyway, but they've got a break where you get to start afresh and anew. And to remind us that Jesus makes all things new. All things new, not just some things. And the invitation is to all of us. If you've had a beaten up 2018, you get another fresh start at this. But He's going to do something so new, it's beyond us. It's beyond anything we could think or imagine. Sounds like a song. So, the new in you. If you haven't found Ephesians chapter 3 yet, you need to find it. The verse I'm focusing on, the verses 20 and 21 is chapter 3, but it's the end of a prayer. It's like a doxology, one would suggest. But Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason, all this glorious stuff that's going on through the suffering, I kneel before the Father from whom His whole family in heaven and earth derive its name. Verse 16. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in the inner person, in the inner being, so that Messiah may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know the love that surpasses knowledge. Talk about an oxymoron. To know the love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure, the word there's fullness, of all the fullness of God. You're overflowing and abundant. It's like after a Thanksgiving dinner, okay? You're just full. Verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more, beyond what you could think or imagine, more than we could imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations for how long?
Ever and ever.
Yeah, the church was never taken off the earth. The church was never put in another place. It's always been here. There's been a testimony of Jesus throughout the time since Jesus died onward. There's been a testimony. But did you notice that the new in you is beyond our requests? Did you see that there? It's beyond our request. Now, Him who's able to do immeasurably more than we could ask. And you can ask for a lot, right? You can imagine a lot to ask even, okay? But you can ask. And I find it interesting how the Lord's just answering prayers of late way beyond it. Way beyond what we've asked. And we think we've got it. I know what I need. So I've changed my prayers, quite frankly, the last couple months. I say, Lord, I don't know what I need, but You do. So I ask for that. Because every time I ask for something, it doesn't come in the right shape or size, and I miss it sometimes. I don't miss it, but whoa, that's not what I asked for. He goes, I know. This is way better. Notice it's beyond our imaginations. And how do you separate these two in the verse? It's really hard. He is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or even imagine. I can't imagine it. And we've got such, what's the word, can I say it? Dwarfed imaginations, am I allowed to say that? And I think, and I was reading a lot on this week, about television, how it's dwarfed, just the video has dwarfed our imaginations. Because it's already pictured for us what's in that book or in that movie that it's being made out of. And I find that fascinating. That's not how I pictured Gimmel or whatever those guys are. You know, Gimli, I knew I said it wrong since I said it. Gimli, you know, the Hobbit, those guys in the Hobbit. That's not how I picture them. Or the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. You know, I didn't picture the Professor that's, you know, or whatever. But you get what I'm saying? We've minimized our imagination to what's being seen. And even so, you know, I use slides a lot, and I was reading about this in preaching, how we got to be more visual to some of our congregations because people are just visual. That they got to see it. No longer can you paint a picture with words because they'll get lost in the third sentence if you're lucky. You know, you got to picture this word and the wordsmiths of today. But it's beyond our requests, it's beyond our imaginations, and notice it's beyond our power. Did you catch that here? Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine, according to His power that's at work where? At work within us. Real similar to that Philippians passage. He is at work within us. He's doing the work. Jesus is doing this stuff by the power of His Holy Spirit. He's doing immeasurably more than we could think or imagine. My son-in-law, my oldest daughter, or her husband, wrote from this passage a song for their engagement. What do you call it? What are they calling?
Proposal.
I knew it was another word for it. Yeah, the proposal. So we had everybody together. You know, we're kind of a, and Ashley's going, well, why is everybody here? And she's kind of, you know, not picking it up. He pulls out his guitar and starts playing a song for her. And he plays this immeasurably more. And I won't sing it for you. You can be grateful. And he just did a wonderful job. And then he asks her to marry. And we're all, you know, and there's all people that normally weren't in our sphere of influence because they're here friends. It was just a real beautiful moment because it was immeasurably more than he could imagine for a wife. And he goes back to that song a lot to remind himself that his wife is a gift to him. And we should all do the same for our spouses. Amen. So this new in you is for His glory. His glory, His brilliance. And I like the spotlight imagery. And it gets old because I say it almost every Sunday. But the idea is that the whole place is dark and Jesus is in the spotlight. And too many times we got to step out of the spotlight and let Him step into the spotlight. And that's a choice. That's not something that happens by after we just kind of drift. Now, we may drift out of the spotlight, but He's got to be placed in the spotlight. We put Him in the spotlight. We focus on Him, and it says for His glory and His brilliance. Okay, notice that His brilliance is throughout the church, not just individual. And again, we could do this candle lighting service where we put all our candles together, and it's brighter still. You know, that's the idea here. Now to Him, verse 20, who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine according to His power that has worked within us, to Him be glory in the church. And the church has gotten a bad rap over the decades, amen? Yeah, because it's full of hypocrites. Right? You heard that? Yeah, we're full of hypocrites. And I got snotty to one guy and I said, come join us. He didn't come. But you know, that's the thing, because they hold us to a higher standard, and perhaps rightfully so. We're all a bunch of hypocrites. Well, to me, I don't think we are. Because the hypocrite's someone who knows they can't do what they can do, and then pretends. Nobody here that I know right now is a hypocrite on that level. You're not a pretender. Okay? You know you can't do. You need Jesus to do it in you. You know that. You're not pretending to be a Christian. You are a Christian. It's just, you know, how they say it, we're not perfect, we're forgiven. Yeah, we're forgiven. We know that. We walk in forgiveness. We walk in the grace of His life and love, and we know that. But we're not pretending. And I told people over the decades, I said, you know what's real interesting? The audience of the hypocrite is not the grocery store clerk. It's not their fellow employees. It's not the person down the street. Their greatest audience is the church. Because they don't need to pretend for the guy at the bar. They don't need to pretend for the grocery store clerk. They just who they is. They don't have to pretend, but they've got to pretend when they come here or wherever, whatever church. That's when they, so in a sense, yeah, they're right. But a hypocrite is someone who knows they're faking it. They're conscious of their hypocrisy. No one here does that because they know. They don't last long here because they're very obvious. Kind of like real good grass and one dandelion. It's real obvious. There's the dandelion. Yeah? So the hypocrisy is. But the glory in the church. Now here's the heavier one. You ready for this one? In spite of our weaknesses, He still gets the glory in the church. Even when we fail to give Him the glory, He still gets the glory. Yeah. Even when we fail, even when we can't do it right, and we're all broken people, right? We're broken, bruised, and weary, and then the invitation's to us. And He still gets the glory in the church because the church is messed up because it's made up of people. In my quest for the perfect church as a young Christian, I thought there was one out there. Amen? You ever had this quest? And I was looking for the perfect church, and I'd go from church to church and went to various denominations. I went to small groups trying to find this perfect church. And one day I was at Dr. Hoshiwara's house. You know, his son David was a close friend of mine at InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. Dr. Hoshiwara was an eye doctor, and he traveled the world to do eye surgeries and stuff. And I really respect the Japanese culture and the English culture, and only Dr. Hosh could say this to me. He said, Michael, you're looking for the perfect church. He said with Japanese, mild Japanese accent in English. And he said to me, he says, I hear you're looking for the perfect church. And I said, yes, sir, I'm looking for the perfect church. And I think that's what Jesus would want me to do. And he said, Michael, he says, once you join it, it will no longer be perfect. Now, only he could have done that, because I was kind of that guy where I'd be back in your face. But you know what he said? You know, it's just this gentle Japanese cultural approach in the way he says, like Miyagi almost. I mean, he reminds me of Miyagi. You know, just this beautiful thing, but that got me in a whole different journey. A whole different journey, and then to realize I can't find the perfect church, so I have to be the perfect Christian. And that was legalism by then, but still, I kind of switched gears to try to make myself more perfect so I could make it in the right church. Well, that didn't work either, and that took another 12 years. But but you get what I'm saying is that we go either or. Well, you know, no, it's both and. Where I'm in the church, and I'm broken and wounded, but Jesus' grace is sufficient for me, amen? And in his weakness, in my weakness rather, his strength is made perfect. So that he gets the glory in the church because of our weaknesses. That making sense? It's just like, there is no perfect church. You can't find one, but he still gets the glory. And this is throughout the centuries. And I just go, wow, this just blows my mind that he still gets the glory in the church. And I like this. It's not just between me and you. It's us together. And I like this too. He gets the glory throughout all generations. Did you read that with me as well? Verse 21, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. That's almost a given because it's only in Jesus we could do this, okay? And throughout all generations for a long time. Forever and ever, amen. Too many times we're caught in the moment. The brilliance is in the moment and we want to capture that moment and keep it, right? And we want to go back to it and we can reminisce. We can go back to it and reminisce. And I don't know if I'm getting it because it's just so overwhelming to me. Because you get that moment where you know the grandson looks at you and he just got this look of endearment and love. And you want to grab that moment with a picture. But the picture never captures it, right? Or you got this beautiful, I come here early a lot and I get the sunrise because we've got a good view of the sun. And I'll capture some great sunrise pictures, but they don't capture the moment. But the Lord's glory goes beyond the moment throughout all generations. And it's not just this one super generation of people that they were the saints, and then the church kind of crumbled, tumbled from there. No, throughout all generations, his glory is made manifest beyond us, beyond the moment, he gets the glory. And if that don't blow your mind, I don't know. It's like, wow. Because then it's not about me. It's not about me, and the pressure's off. I don't have to perform anymore. I can be who I am. I mean, you know, I've worked hard to play this morning, okay? I practiced for 3 weeks, the couple songs we sang, and you can do your comments later about that. But I was like, I can't get this one. So I can sing it a cappella, I can sing it with a piano, but I can't sing it with my stupid guitar. I just can't do it, you know? And so I'm up there real self-conscious. But if I'm self-conscious, can I worship? No, I cannot, because I'm self-conscious. I'm a hymn. So I'd get lost in him. So I said, okay, so and right before I started playing, I said, Lord Jesus Christ, you got to do this in me. And that's it. I don't start thinking. I overthink things. Have you done that? You overthink something, and you mess up even more. But you want to realize that you're going to echo through generations. Now, here's the other hard one. Remember White Christmas? Okay. All right. So White Christmas, toward the middle of it, to two-thirds maybe, into the movie, she's I forgot her name now. The one listening on the other end of the phone. Okay. Yeah, the maid, yeah. So Bing Crosby's talking to his buddy, okay, in New York, and he wants to go on the Sullivan Show. That's what they're, it's not the Ed Sullivan Show, but it's pretending. And so they want, who? Ed Harrison Show, yeah. And so, yeah, kind of funny. And so I should let you tell the story. And so he doesn't want anything out of this, but all she heard was, what Ed said, oh, you can get big thousands of dollars of free advertising. And then she hung up because someone walked into the room. Yeah. The other one. Anyway, Betty. Yeah, Betty walks into the room. And so she reports to Betty all the bad things Bing's doing. So now she sets it ripple so that she gets tight toward Bing's character. And then she leaves and goes, sings her song, you know, I did wrong by you or whatever. And then you didn't do right by me. Yeah. And so it starts this ripple effect, okay? All because she was eavesdropping and caught part of a conversation over here. She starts sending something down through generations. Okay, that's the negative. And she had no idea she did that. She had no idea she just set that all in motion because she was eavesdropping. Now let's do positive. You bless someone in this moment. You give them a hug and they feel confident about themselves. And they go to the next part and then they're confident in this moment. And then they show confidence to their children and their grandchildren because you set in motion over here. The positive. Can the Lord redeem any of this in the middle? Oh, I hope he can, or we're in trouble. You know, if he can't redeem it, we're in trouble here. But he can redeem this ripple effect. And so what's really cool is the Bible teaches this. Blessings go to 10,000s. But evil only to four generations, the third and fourth generation. So your negative ripple can only go to the third, fourth generation. So you know what I pray a lot? Oh, Lord, maybe in the next generation, stop it in two or three. And what someone once said, oh, that gives you license to be evil for four generations. Oh, no, honey, that gives me hope. That gives me hope that my mistakes don't go that far. My mistake stops. You know, and so I'm start crying now. But I look at my kids and my grandkids. They're such great parents. And I'm going, boy, it ain't me. That ain't me, because I know what I used to do when that happened. And in just this summer, some stuff happened. The Lord used healing in my life to go, I know what my mom would have done to me if that happened to me. And my daughters, both Ashley and Bethany, they just did it right. And I saw Lori's daughter, Tiffany, do it right. We were up at family camp when it happened that other time. And I'm saying, oh, bless you, Jesus, that our evil only goes, our mistakes, if I, okay, it's not evil even, only go to three or four generations. But blessings, whoosh, thousands, thousands. And in the meantime, you can all repent. Say, oh, Lord Jesus Christ, forgive me for this, and set a whole new legacy in the direction of positiveness. And I'm witnessing it now in my own life. And you can too. So, the brilliance goes beyond the church, through the church, and beyond a moment throughout all generations. Jesus point number one. A number of years ago, I started calling them Jesus points instead of PowerPoints because all points point to Jesus. It takes a supernatural power to live a supernatural life. Jesus is that power to live that life. So if you try to live these points, these takeaways, it's called dig in, dine, and take out, then you're going to try to live a legalistic life and you can't do it. You have to do it in the power of Jesus. But teach your children to draw outside the lines and think outside the box. Did I get a gasp? Because I'm OCD, man. You got to stay inside the lines. If you're linear sequential, got to stay inside those lines. Right? Now, I'm not talking about scribbling. Okay, that's something different, okay? Now, I actually put it away. I forgot what I had it out for. I had a drawing of one of the grandkids, and it was just scribble on it, and I put it away. I filed it. I said, oh, I need that this morning. Well, I don't have it. But you, but you know what I'm talking about? You got that picture of an angel, and they scribble. Oh, that's so nice. It goes up on the refrigerator. Okay, not kind of talking like that, you know. I'm talking about just they start to draw, but you kind of, now I didn't color as a kid because I kind of missed some things as a kid, but my aunt started when I was about 14 or 15, I went to their house a couple times, and she outlined the picture first. And she got real dark in one color, and then you came in and colored in the lines. And okay, that's okay too, but you want to start thinking off-road. We got to change the picture a little bit. Off-road, think outside the lines and outside the box, because what we start to do with God is we say he can only work within these lines. So suddenly we shrink that which is beyond or think we can imagine, and suddenly it's right here. And we're looking for different shades and nuances when the Lord's going, no, I want something new. I want new wineskins. Something you haven't thought about, you haven't perceived it yet. It's just beyond your ability to perceive it. Okay? So, I am not talking about scribbling, but I'm talking about drawing in a different way to think outside the box. Now, Gracie was doing this. She got a SpongeBob puzzle. Okay? And she said, here, Grandpa, do this with me. And, of course, she wouldn't let me do it, but I was there standing. And so I held the piece. She took it from me and put it in, took it from me. And so I realized she just wanted me to be sitting there with her. So she did the puzzle. And we, what? Yeah, she wanted to witness, exactly. And so we're doing this puzzle, and what were we playing by? We're playing, what game? Was that Game of Life back then, at that point? And then she started messing with the puzzle and, you know, making it sideways and doing kind of an L-shaped thing. And, look, Grandpa. And I'm going, ooh, I can use that. Because now she's outside the box. There's stuff that has been invented, like Steve Jobs and others, that they were outside the box. And they went, oh, we got to do this differently. Like inventing the light bulb, right? You know the story. He tried thousands of times. Now he knows this didn't work. This didn't. And then to work in a vacuum. That was new. You could vacuum out the tube and put the elements in. And then figure out what lasts longer. Then they thought that this would be a better idea, right? The fluorescent tubing. Okay, and all this kind of stuff, and LEDs or whatever. But people are thinking just outside the lines a bit. But when we start thinking inside the lines and inside the box, we've limited who God is, and he can't do anything outside that box. And we go, nope, that's not God. That didn't fit my theology. You know, and I do have to do this, excuse me. Okay, Jesus point number two in our pursuit of the Lord Jesus Christ. His new thing is beyond our past prejudices. I won't say beyond our past, our prejudices, experiences, and failures. It's beyond it. How many times have hurts and disappointments limited to seeing what God can do? As many of you know part of the story, some of you did because you're involved in the prayer chains and all that. When we went to pick up Crystal last Saturday, right? It was last Saturday? We drove down to Montrose in my yellow car. And we get there, and I'm kind of jerking a little bit, and an idiot light came on and said, dumb guy. And so we get to the airport, and we get out of the airport, and we had to have what they call those things, cappuccinos or Starbucks. Had to have a Starbucks, okay? I did not. They did. And so we're looking for Starbucks. I'm watching these idiot lights and go, guys, something's wrong here. But we had to find the Starbucks first, and we turned around and stopped at a AutoZone. And they run the battery check, and I'm like, oh, sorry, sir, your battery's only 65%. I said, well, does that mean the alternator's dead? I don't know. I'd have to have the battery first before you get the alternator. Okay, can I get back? I'm in Montrose. Can I get back to Grand Junction at 65% of my battery? Oh, sure, I think you can. We got the mile marker 57, about 24 miles outside of Grand Junction. And bless Jesus, I have a wonderful son-in-law, and it was a great time with the family. But we're coming down that, and I'm going, I'm not making this. And the car would not let me over in the right lane. They're fighting me, and I'm going, I got to get over. And so, because the car's, you know, jerking and the lights are all on, and now they're all off all of a sudden, but it was really fun. My point is, get to the point, we drove there in a new car yesterday, and it was healing. Take her back to the airport, and we came back. Now, that sounds really stupid for some people, but for me, it was healing because you have all those feelings as you're coming around that curve. You know, oh, I remember right here was doing this. Oh, yeah, and I thought, oh, we're going to be here. We're going to die out here. We're in the middle of a desert. Nobody's going to stop to help us. You know? Yeah, exactly, yeah. And there's this place to bury us all right there. You know? So you're thinking all these stupid things, but I obviously do that. And so we're driving by, and the car's not jerking. Matter of fact, it's, like, really cool. And we made it, and we're here home. But again, prejudices are failures, and all of our past comes rushing back to us. And there is some wisdom in healing of the memories. There is some wisdom in that, okay? And I think the Lord does that for us. He puts us in a situation that's really similar, but yet different enough to say, okay, now you can get healed. This is time. And I could share some private ones, but they're not appropriate for right now, but privately. So I really believe that the Lord can get past our prejudices and experiences and failures and bring that new thing into our lives that we've minimized it because we've limited them with our boxes and our lines, and we've limited them by our past. And I think we can get past that. There's a real cool song. Tapestry first. This is a tapestry. Can you all see that? Is it blurry? It better be, because that's the back of the tapestry. Okay. This is the back of the tapestry. On the right, I guess I could do this up there. I don't have to come down here. Okay. You can kind of see this is a person here. And if you look really closely, you can see this is a person here, but not really. And you can see some birds, partridges and pear tree, some swans. And you can probably tell those are flowers or something. And it kind of looks that way. But if I didn't tell you that was a person on the right here, this one right here, you couldn't see that person. You just look like the backside of a tapestry. Now, when we look at God's plan for our life, sometimes we see things kind of clearly, but not really, and all that. Okay. But here's what the tapestry looks like. Got a king on one side, queen on the other, and you can see the birds clear and all that. Point is, you all know the story about seeing the backside tab. We only see the backside. And it's not always, because some things we think we figured out, but we really don't. And that's what we get. The song by a super chick called One Girl Revolution, there's a cool line in it. I'd like you to hear that. Got the sound? It's my youngest ringtone, so I know this. That's right. I can lose my hard-earned freedom if my fear defines my world. I declare my independence from the critics and the stones that are being hurled at us, sticks and stones. I can find my revolution. I can learn to stand alone. Now, alone means you stand up with Jesus, not alone without him. But the idea here is our hard-earned freedom is Jesus' earned freedom, not ours. Okay? And they know that. This is their theology of their group. But I just find this such a powerful thing that we let fear define our world. and to take us out of the what ifs, the could-haves, the would-haves, the could-haves, the regrets or the resentments, or the and I'm there with you in some of this stuff. It's like, oh my goodness, I'm so fear-bound, it's obscene. You know, and the Lord's working on me because we need to feel safe. And my hope, my desire is to provide a church, a community of fellowship where we can be safe and free to fail and free to be forgiven and free to move on from there. That the past is indeed in the past, that the future's bright ahead of us because what he has for us is to prosper us, to call hope in a future, and that that's where he's all about. And then this is what Jesus is doing, immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Do you have the song up there for Chris Tomlin? Here, proclaiming your name, giving you glory throughout all generations, throughout our families and our neighborhoods, that you are amazing. And we get awestruck, Heavenly Father. I pray that people see the humility in our lives, that we know that you are doing this new thing that's beyond what we can imagine or think, beyond what we can even ask, because you love us so dearly, so deeply. You know the depths of our heart, and you still love us the same. Oh, may that love penetrate us deeper and deeper as we understand the height, the depth, the breadth, and the width of the love you have for us, and come to understand that which is understandable, the love you have for us. In Jesus' name, join me in saying, amen. Have a happy new year.